Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Content warning. This episode contains discussions of suicide and sexual abuse. Listener discretion is advised. He had been busted once before, so when the well-connected financier was arrested again a decade later, survivors' hopes for justice weren't high. Then, just weeks after he was behind bars, we all heard the news. He was dead from an apparent suicide. But now, with the release of millions of new files, what was once a viral joke is looking more likely to be true. This week's episode is, did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself?
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
I sounded so incredulous. No. Episode over. It's good to hear you. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves. We have, you know, we try not to be sensationalist or biased, but I mean, come on.
Sometimes the evidence just kicks you in the face. So that's what we've got today, is just line by line, including stuff that as we were reviewing the newly released files, because we've known, you know, about some information about his death or whatever, but things have stuck out to me that I can't wait to talk about during this as well, that I think are really pointing more to the answer to our today's question.
I found that often something will go viral for being, like we said in the intro, a joke of some sort. But then it's not, like, even mundane celebrity stuff or, like, blind items and stuff that you're like, this A-lister with this C-lister, da-da-da. And you're like, okay, whatever. And then a few months later, it's like, yeah, that A-lister left his wife for that C-lister. People know things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the truth gets leaked in these kind of funny, unbelievable ways. And then so everyone brushes them off and finds them not credible and, like, becomes a meme of, like, Epstein did not kill himself, when the reality is he probably didn't. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's evidence now that is very credible that points to that. But I just imagine all of those rich assholes just, like, Mr. Burns style, like, we've fooled them again. Look at all those peasants down there.
Hey, but you're right, though. I think much like with UFOs, much like with people discovering nefarious connections between world leaders and governments, mm-hmm. and wealthy people, that it gets framed in the media, it gets framed in fictional depictions as what a wackadoo, crazy person thing to say, because it's very easy to then denigrate the underlying information if you can attack the person on top that's saying it. I remember when we were in San Diego on tour with Full Moon Energy, and I was out for a run, and I was like, what is hanging from like a rear view mirror, like a air freshener? And I was like, what is that? And as I got closer, it was Jeffrey Epstein. And as an air freshener, and the other flip side of it was all caps, red letters, and it said Epstein did not kill himself. And I was like, I am passionate about this enough to do an episode of the podcast. I don't know that I am passionate enough to either manufacture or even purchase and continue to hang in my car an air freshener. That's
the air freshener hanging, really, they really went for it with that one. Yeah, you know, it's kind of under the same thing as, like, not as tacky as murderabilia, but
oh yeah,
something along those lines. It is, and it becomes like a punchline, but
a bit,
punchlines don't mean they're not true.
there's a book called Truth in Comedy, and they always tell you to read that when you start doing improv. And so given this was such a big joke and it was so funny, maybe that's because some part of it was true. And we'll go through what we've known before, because we didn't really do as much of an update.
Jeffrey Epstein's a nice poor man too.
But we did not do, you know, we've done a couple here and there. So we'll kind of take you through what now, the whole picture of the night that he died, given what we know now, which is crazy new stuff.
The files have shed a lot of new light and context on stuff, which once again, just shows us what the government keeps from us. And that if you're not on that need to know list, which is like five people, then you just don't get to know.
Too bad. Too bad. So sad, man. Well, if I said when we were on tour in San Diego, but we're not going on tour into many places. We're going to tour in one place, and that is Crime Wave at Sea 2027, which is going to be February 8th through the 12th. We're going to go to Nassau, Bahamas. We're going to go to the private island, Coco Key. If we see an Epstein didn't kill himself air freshener at the private island, I will be surprised. If it's hanging fine, you know, they're just, it's like a guy that's just doing the maintenance. It's like
on the
what?
Golf cart.
It's true.
Rear view.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a lot.
And we're like,
yeah, it's not a joke.
Buddy, we know. You got an hour and a half? Let's just sit down and listen to something.
Between him and the guy in the referee outfit on the creator's lunch the first day last time, he was like, you guys are a true crime crews. You want to hear my JonBenet Ramsey theories? And we were like, yeah, please. We do. So that's the magic of Crime Wave, is that you it brings out the true crime fanatic in all of us and in anywhere. So go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code Sinister and
get $100 off and a private meet and greet when you use our code.
Don't forget the 69th person you're having private dinner with. You are.
And the 420th, we will fly you out for some porch time.
Cabin 69 and cabin 420. Well, go to crimewaveatsea.com and we'll see you on the high seas. But until then, we got to see to it that some justice is done here, because this is, at the very least, things are being run suspiciously in our prisons.
Yes, as if we didn't know that one already. But yes, this... Mm-hmm. Even in the most high profile of cases, especially in the most high profile of cases, it is sus activity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. On the morning of August 10th, 2019, Jeffrey Epstein was found unresponsive in his cell at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan. He was pronounced dead at New York Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital. The New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner officially ruled his death a suicide by hanging. 1 month earlier, on July 6, Epstein was arrested at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey after stepping off his private jet from Paris. Federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York charged him with one count of sex trafficking of minors and one count of conspiracy to commit sex trafficking, offenses carrying up to 45 years in prison. The indictment alleged that Epstein had sexually abused dozens of girls at his Manhattan townhouse and Palm Beach estate over a period of years. He pleaded not guilty. He was denied bail and remanded to the Metropolitan Correctional Center, where he was placed in the special housing unit under suicide watch.
So this was going to be a pretty big takedown. The last time he was charged at the state level. He was now being charged federally. And as we saw with somebody like Alec Murdoch, you do something at the state level and maybe you get a couple years at the state jail. But then if the feds can find out that you suspiciously moved money, perhaps like he did, the charges, the years can rack up quick. The charges can rack up and the possible years behind bars. So 45 years, like at bare minimum, he was facing 45 years.
Yeah.
Given what we now know, especially the significant amount of witnesses, victims, and evidence.
Yeah, and he was 66 years old at the time of his death, so he would die in prison.
Mm-hmm.
How shitty, though, is it that every time more gets added on to a sentence, it's all money-related? Like, he wasn't getting 45 years because of raping children. It was because he was trafficking them across state lines and all over the place and making money that the government couldn't take advantage of.
Right. And in, even when there's hard evidence of it, we saw in Florida that he was harming minors sexually. The charges got pled down for, I think what we talked about last time, intelligence reasons, you know, because he was a VIP.
Less than 3 weeks into his pretrial detention, guards found Epstein unresponsive on the floor of his cell with marks on his neck. The report revealed he was
lying in the fetal position on the floor with a homemade fashioned noose around his neck.
Epstein was photographed, medically examined, and determined to have stained a red circular line at the base of the neck and friction marks on the front of neck and a small red spot on his left knee. He was taken to the hospital.
I'm suspicious that this was a trial run because he was the roommate who we'll talk about briefly, but the roommate called to the guards because the roommate was sleeping on the ground. They are both older dudes. Epstein's in his 60s. The roommate, you know, in his 50s, 60s. But the roommate said, normally I sleep on the bottom bunk. Epstein is older, so I let him have the bottom bunk. I took the ground. I put a mattress on the ground. So this guy's sleeping on the floor, and he says he felt something on his foot, and then he had his sheet over his head and was listening to his headphones, and then he felt something touch his foot, so he pulled his sheet down, and he said he sees Epstein kind of sitting, and he was snoring, and then he was kind of, or not sitting, like slumped over, snoring, but also with his eyes open. And so then the guy's like, I thought he was having a heart attack because I was like, oh, he's unconscious but breathing. And so he said, Jeff, are you okay? Jeff. And when he didn't answer, he said he called him over, or called the folks to come and get him and put him on a stretcher. And then the discussion by staff in the reports that have just been revealed said that as he was being placed on the stretcher by responding staff, he would open his eyes and observe staff. When staff made eye contact with him, he would hurriedly shut his eyes. The inmate was then, they took him to the unit, put him in a suicide smock and waited. But as he was in the suicide smock and he was awaiting his, what's called an inmate companion, he sat up on the edge of the bed and began moving forward as if he was attempting to fall over head first, I guess trying to still pretend he was having some type of medical thing. And the officer said, when I looked away, he straightened up. As I turned to look at him again, he attempted the same act. I laid him down on the bed and directed him to cease his action or he would be placed in restraints for his safety. At that moment, he stated, okay, I won't do it again, and gave the thumbs up. So, you know, I was like, are you autoerotic asphyxiating because he was in just his boxers and a t-shirt, or were you practicing to see, okay, what's going to happen? What do they do? How do they respond? Who am I taken to? And who do I know to tell then my people to go and bribe? Or threaten.
That's a very good theory. It's reminds me of, you know, when my kids do something they're not supposed to do and you look over at them and they're just sitting perfectly straight. And then you, you know, you kind of pretend to look away and they go back to what they're doing. Yeah. Like if someone's faking being sick, they don't want to go to school. I think that is a very good, not even theory. I mean, I it seems like you would have a trial run. You know, if you were going to stage something this monumental and also try and get out while this is happening.
Yeah.
Then you want a trial run. You want to see, like you said, where you go, who gets involved, who gets called.
Mm-hmm. Nope, for sure. It seemed the whole like closing his eyes and opening them when people were looking was like he's obviously just trying to get out and see what the suicide watch unit looks like.
Like a asset might do.
You know, somebody that's smart.
Yeah. His defense attorney suggested he had been assaulted by his cellmate, former New York police officer Nicholas Tartaglione, who had been convicted of 4 murders. Tartaglione denied attacking Epstein, and an internal prison investigation ultimately cleared him. Notably, Epstein told investigators he did not feel threatened by Tartaglione and could not recall what had happened. Epstein was placed on suicide watch in the aftermath. After approximately 1 week of supervision, he was taken off of it, a decision the DOJ Inspector General later identified as a significant institutional failure.
Yeah, the initial statement from his lawyer was like, maybe the cellmate did something. But in all the reporting, there's photos of Epstein of that night. There's photos of his hands, his arms. There's photos of Tartaglione's hands, arms. There's no injuries that would indicate he held him down, punched him, hit him. And Epstein himself even said in the clinical review that's in the newly released files, he's been described as smiling during the clinical encounter. And said that he didn't know what happened. When they asked, why do you have marks on your neck? He said, I don't know. And he said, I don't know. I just went to drink a little water and woke up snoring. And when they asked him, do you feel unsafe with Tartaglione? Do you want to leave? And he said, no. He said he did try to talk to Tartaglione, that Tartaglione called him a pedophile. Epstein said he knew that the Selly was upset. He let him cool off. But Epstein said, I didn't have issues with him. I feel safe being housed with him. I don't feel suicidal. I get along with him. I just was having trouble sleeping. Now you guys have given me a CPAP machine, so I feel better. And then on the flip side, Tartaglione said, I think he's a pedophile. I think he's gross. He makes me uncomfortable. He said things like 14 is legal in most states, so I don't understand what the problem is here. But aside from that, he said all he does is just pace the cell and bitch about his lawyers not doing a good job. And he's just like, I don't really care. He's annoying to me, but like, whatever. But the one thing that caught me was that Tartaglione stated he does not have any issues being housed with Epstein. However, he does not want to be involved with any plots Epstein has in mind in order to try to get released.
Oh.
So what plot did Tartaglione mention to this officer who wrote in their report? Tartaglione has no problem, except he doesn't want to be a part of any plots.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's not his cellmate anymore.
What's the plot? Somebody needs to give a little more context there.
Yep.
You know, if you were also doing a trial run, I think you would want to see how your cellmate responded to in a situation like that.
And then, no, you're right. And then in a separate comment to a separate, so he was being assessed by multiple different officers, like as part of this big post-incident report. There's like one officer's literally was just like, I was called to the scene and I helped put him on the stretcher, end of statement. So everybody just kind of gives their version. So another one said, while observing Epstein, he sat up on the bed and began telling me he thinks his bunkie Tartaglione tried to kill him. Epstein stated that Bunky tried to extort money from him and stated that if he didn't pay, he would be beat up. He stated this has been going on for a week. I asked Epstein if he told staff about this, and he told me no, he'd only told his lawyer. He went on to say that Bunky told him that if he beat him up because of his charges, the officers would not report it. And because of this, he was not comfortable telling the officers about the threats and alleged attempts to extort him. I immediately reported this to the lieutenant, is what another statement says. So to one person, mm-hmm. he's like, I don't know what happened. And to another person, he's like, it was him.
And one person, he says, I got no problem being in a cell with him. I don't feel threatened by him. Yeah, and then another person, he's like, I think he tried to kill me.
Yeah, he's the one that did it. So,
which one is it?
Yeah, I mean, Tartaglione was not in the cell when Epstein's body was found later. But just interesting that this weird brush run in. I want to hear more from Nicholas Tartaglione. Write a book. I mean, he's a murderer. I don't want to give him any money. Maybe his victims can get the money. But I'm interested in his days with Epstein, what it was like.
Yeah, I'm interested in that whole story of the fact that he was a cop and five murders. And But I would believe that this cop did call him a pedophile. I mean, pedophiles are not well respected in the prison community. Shocker. In fact, didn't someone that was convicted of sex crimes against minors just recently get killed in prison by inmates?
A couple months ago, it was the Lost Prophet singer Ian Watkins back in October of 2025.
There's that, but I think someone else just did. Like, oh, man. Just a couple days ago, or maybe got at least the shit beat out of him. But it's, you know, they have their own ranking system within that whole world. And just like us, people who rape kids are at the bottom of that. So,
as they should be.
Yeah. It's kind of weird to me that they had him in a cell with another person, period. Just given how high profile he is.
And it sounded like maybe it was just after the suicide watch, but they, in the report, it said, we encourage that he should have a cellmate. So, interesting.
Well, if you don't have a cellmate, there's no one to blame stuff on. So.
True. That's true. Or if, you're trying, there's no witnesses to be like, I saw it. He hung himself.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Man, when I wanted to spruce up my house, I was like, I don't even know where to start. Who has good furniture that's going to be delivered, already put together and not damaged and high quality? And I'll tell you what, Article came at me with all the answers to my problems. I got a beautiful piece. It came to my house very quick. They organized it with me, white glove delivery. When they took it out of the box, it was like I lifted no fingers, truly. I had to open the door and that was it. And I could not recommend Article enough. It was a beautiful bookshelf. I put a giant banana on it and I love it.
It's great. I also was like, every day I'm like, I want to redo everything in this house. I now have two of the prettiest and most comfortable chairs, the Gabriella 34-inch lounge chair in ivory. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened. So I ordered that, and then I ordered what was also beautiful, the Fantol shelving unit. I had exactly where I was going to put it. Article delivers everything. Again, didn't have to lift a finger. Unfortunately, where I was going to put this bookshelf, because I didn't measure correctly, it wasn't going to work. Them coming out, picking it back up, and then I exchanged it for another chair and a gorgeous mirror. There was no problem at all. They came, they took the bookcase right away, put the chairs together, did everything. Again, didn't have to lift a finger, but the return process just as easy as the delivery process. And they were great about it. No questions asked. Article has seriously changed the way we shop for furniture. Their curated collections like mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi make it super easy to mix and match pieces that actually look good together. It's not overwhelming, and every piece feels intentional. You get high-quality, well-crafted furniture. It looks super expensive, but it doesn't come with the sticker shock. And the fact that most of it arrives already assembled, a miracle. My personal hell is putting furniture together. So thank you so much, Article.
For real. You can tell the difference the second you get your hands on an Article piece. This packaging is very thoughtful. It feels solid, whether you're sitting in the chair at Christy's house, which I sit there often, or putting my giant banana on my shelf. And the craftsmanship is very impressive. It's not just filler pieces of junk. It is a good-looking piece for your house. And if you're not sure where to start, their support team is great. They offer free design help. There's fast delivery, fair pricing, a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. It's just a smarter way to finish your space.
Absolutely. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/creepy, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/creepy for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more, which in girl math is like you're just spending $50 then.
It's free.
In the days that followed, Epstein met with his defense attorneys at the MCC. One of them, Reid Weingarten, would later testify under oath about what he observed.
We did not see a despairing, despondent, suicidal person.
Epstein himself had reportedly stated explicitly in conversations with attorneys and associates that he would never take his own life. His brother Mark agreed, telling reporters afterward,
I could see if he got a life sentence. I could see him then taking himself out, but he had a bail hearing coming up.
He did, which would make suicide more of a less likely thing to happen because your sentence hasn't been set in stone. Mm-hmm. If you're just like, I have no interest in being here for that or any other amount of time and I am getting the fuck out, then, you know, you stage your suicide and you just bounce.
Yeah, I was just say you get word from your attorneys. It's like it's a different team and I can't control what all they're going to pull to the surface. And so just FYI, you're probably going to go to trial for this. You might start making plans in there. We can either talk about it at the end if we have time or in another episode. Significant cell notes that he had made to himself that are kind of cryptic, but seem to indicate not like, dear everyone I've wronged, I feel so bad for what I did. But it's like, okay, these are the countries that don't have extradition, and here's airports I can land at. You know, like it was not the plans of a suicidal man. It was the plans of a man trying to get the fuck out of Dodge. Yeah,
yes. Which, again, I mean, I guess you got to write shit down to remember it. It's just, you know, and then you eat it or something so people don't find it. But
flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Or you leave clues that aren't real clues, and then you go somewhere else.
That's true. That could also be the reason.
That's what I would do.
On August 7th, 2019, FBI agents conducted their fourth interview with a woman identified in court documents only as a survivor from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, who had been cooperating with the federal investigation into Epstein. During this interview, the woman expanded her testimony to include new allegations against Donald Trump, claiming that Epstein had transported her to New York or New Jersey as a teenager in the early 1980s, where she alleged Trump had sexually assaulted her. Although the White House has called them
completely baseless accusations backed by zero credible evidence,
investigative journalist Julie K. Brown, who's reporting for the Miami Herald, helped break the Epstein story, made a compelling point.
They wouldn't have interviewed her four times if they didn't find her credible.
Period.
I mean, seriously.
And Julie K. Brown did an amazing job with all of the research and reporting on this and helped break this story wide open. And I totally agree. Why would you have called her back four times if you didn't think that they were credible? And now we find out this is all in the files.
Truly. And it's not like this is a guy who has had a completely clear track record and they're just like, what? This a philanthropist out of nowhere? It's
the
like
financier?
They're Jeffrey like, Epstein? Yeah, my friend Jeff? I don't think so. But it does seem like in this case, you're going to go down for it. Cause like you've already have the prior conviction. We already know all of those people are probably very willing to testify. It all fits the same MO. You know, the walls are closing in. And yeah, Julie K. Brown's story is the first one most of us heard, but definitely the first story I ever heard about this. A friend of ours from Dallas Comedy House was like, have you heard about this weird rich guy who's like runs like a sex scam out of his house in Florida? And I was like, what? And here we are 7 years later.
Dude,
and
we're still talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. But
well,
no, she's,
and
I
still
think she's
no
right.
justice has been served.
Mm-mm.
The Trump-related interview summaries were among the documents the DOJ, under the Trump administration, initially withheld when the Epstein files were released to the public. NPR identified 53 pages missing from the database. Democratic members of Congress accused the DOJ of illegally withholding the materials. The department said the records had been
incorrectly deemed duplicative.
They were released only after NPR's reporting made the omission public in February of 2026.
So this is all happening simultaneously with Epstein's been arrested. There's credible accusations against him in their investigation. Now stuff is coming out about the sitting president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, and for whatever reason, the initial interview with this victim does not get filed for like 16 days until after the interview is conducted, which that's not supposed to be how it works. It's supposed to be within like 48 hours. And then like 2 days later, we have all this happen at the detention facility. So it certainly, again, seems a bit connected.
The timeline definitely raises eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
On August 8th, 2019, while held in a federal detention facility awaiting trial, Jeffrey Epstein signed a brand new last will and testament. It was witnessed by two private attorneys and placed his entire estate, valued at over $577 million, into a newly created private trust called the 1953 Trust, named for the year of his birth. The trust was created the same day the will was signed. By routing his assets through a private trust rather than leaving them in an ordinary estate, Epstein effectively shielded the identities of his beneficiaries from public view. His only known relative, his brother Mark, was not publicly listed as a beneficiary. Whether Mark is a beneficiary of the private trust itself remains unknown, as the trust's terms are sealed.
And nothing inherently suspicious about a rich person using a trust for estate planning purposes. You avoid probate. It's like way cleaner. But the timing is certainly interesting that August 8th, he signs this will. And the main beneficiary we've now learned about is one of his girlfriends, who we'll talk about shortly, as well as Ghislaine. And there was like a second trust called like the Butterfly Trust. He was, at the very least, I think, trying to shield assets in anticipation of this litigation. But also, I mean, depending on who the trustee and beneficiaries are, that's a way for you to access assets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Know about.
And I think there's two arguments to be made. One could be he knows he's going to kill himself. So he's like getting rid of all of his assets. He's signing a new will. I'm sure there are people in prison that they do that because they know I'm about to clock out. It could also be a red herring for those exact same reasons, but you're not going to clock out. You just need your money moved to an offshore account so you can access it when you get out.
No, truly, if I was going to like fake my own death and I had $500 million, I would have a trust and I would say, you know, the trust is the beneficiary is Christy Wallace. And, she, you know, she's going to just make her right decisions about it. And you're the only person who knows that I'm still alive. And I'm like, hey, maybe there's a bank account that we don't tell anybody what bank account it is. And then you get money to you and then you send that money out to pay. You could also be paying an LLC for consulting, you know, stuff that absent a massive financial investigation into the beneficiary recipient, we wouldn't know where that money goes. It goes to her and it's her money to do with it whatever she will. And if the person who receives the bulk of the estate had a ton of emails that are like, I'm loyal to you till the end and I'll die before I ever turned on you, one wonders what a great person to leave your estate to, I guess.
No. Yeah.
I'm not talking about Ghislaine, by the
no,
way.
No. Mm-mm. MCC officials did not learn the will had been signed until after Epstein was found dead. The timing stunned legal experts. Attorney Jennifer Freeman, who represents child sex abuse victims, said in an interview with The Guardian,
"This is the last act of Epstein's manipulation of the system, even in death."
Attorney Lisa Bloom, representing multiple Epstein accusers, called it
gross negligence
on the part of Epstein's lawyers and jail personnel to allow him to sign a will at all, given that he had been found unresponsive in his cell just weeks earlier, calling the signing
a classic sign of impending suicide for a prisoner. And that's a good point. As an attorney, before someone signs their last will and testament, you got to make sure they're of sound legal mind and making good choices. And if somebody's like on suicide watch or just was found with a rope around their neck and is facing mm-hmm. down like a huge life sentence, I mean, I guess he's very powerful. And if you say no, he's probably just going to hire someone else. But certainly an ethical question for those attorneys. But they're the ones that were in the room with him to say, no, he was fine. He was totally fine.
It's also, again, something the prison gross negligence is a good way to put it. Like, I mean, I think for many reasons, he was treated differently and power was probably at the very top.
Definitely.
Pace University law professor Bridget Crawford raised the question of whether or not the will was even valid, explaining to CBS News.
It's far from a given that Mr. Epstein possessed mental capacity. You need to make sure there was no fraud, no undue influence, no duress.
Cornell Law School professor Gregory S. Alexander was equally pointed about what the timing implied, also telling CBS News.
It raises eyebrows that the will and the trust were created just 2 days before he died. It makes one think that he's contemplating his imminent death.
Or he's contemplating getting the fuck out of there.
I was going to say, I hate to disagree with such exalted legal experts, but psychologically...
Well, you're more exalted because your mug says,
I do have a mug that says world's best lawyer.
Greatest lawyer.
Thank you. Yeah, world's greatest lawyer. Thank you, Paris. But it's my Better Call Saul mug. But the idea that... not always, you know, perhaps if you, he was like, fucking, I don't care. I'm going to die. And who cares where all this money goes? Is it more likely that he's like, I need to know where this goes for sure. I need to be, because I'm going to be dead and I need to be very sure about how it gets passed into whom and away from people that may, I don't know, control one of my apartment buildings, like my brother, who I'm pretty sure still controls one of the apartment buildings. So, you know, look at that guy. I don't know what's going on there. He seems cooperative. He seems sad about his brother's death. I don't know. It's weird stuff.
Yeah. No, it's a brilliant ruse because it is classic behavior of a prisoner that is contemplating suicide. Mm-hmm. Most prisoners aren't billionaires, is a whole other issue.
Most billionaires should be imprisoned. Yeah. Hang on a minute.
So they don't have the type of money most people in prison, this idiot does. So yeah, are you just going to be like, I got billions of dollars. Fuck it. I'm hanging myself. And you didn't like put anything in place as to like, your brother's going to be taken care of or, you know, I don't know, whatever sick thing you're trying to fund, dump all the money into that. To put it into an account with your girlfriend, so you playing devil's advocate. You're not planning on killing yourself. You just need access to that money. Mm-hmm. It'd be a very smart way to do it.
Truly. And you actually wouldn't even need, the attorneys wouldn't have to know. You wouldn't have to go like, by the way, I'm going to fake my own death. You would tell your girlfriend and say like, you're about to be put in charge of a shitload of stuff. And you know what to do, right? You know what to do, right? And she does. And she felt like she owed him a lot. Again, I'm not accusing his attorneys of doing anything wrong. If your client comes to you and says, I want a new trust and I want Karina, my girlfriend, to inherit it all, you just go, okay, yes, sir. I drafted it, you know? Mm-hmm. And unless he says, it's because I'm going to fake my death and sneak out of here. And then the attorneys would have to blow everything up and go, well, we can't help you with fraud. You know, or crime. So the fact that he wrote all this. I'm not saying it has to be some massive conspiracy, and the same with him just at the jail. Sometimes you only need two or three people kind of creating distractions or accidentally shred a document or turning a camera off. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to do this stuff. So
no, I imagine the fewer you have involved, the more likely it is that it will be successful.
You run a lean scheme.
Mm-hmm. On the evening of August 9th, around 7 p.m., records show Epstein was provided a social call by the institution duty officer. This call was done on an unmonitored line. The post-incident documentation noted,
"It's extremely concerning why this call would have been placed and why it would have been done on an unmonitored line."
Files in the 2026 release confirmed the call's recipient was Karina Shuliak, a 36-year-old Belarusian national who had been in a relationship with Epstein for years. Shuliak stood to inherit $50 million, the Caribbean islands, Zora Ranch, the New York City townhouse, a Paris apartment, and a near 33-carat diamond ring, quote, given in contemplation of marriage. That's five times what Ghislaine Maxwell was set to receive. The BOP's Northeast Regional Director later told investigators,
"We don't know what happened on that phone. It could have potentially led to the incident, but we will never know."
How does this guy get to make an unmonitored motherfucking phone call?
He talked to the IDO and he said, "I just need to call my mom. Is it okay? Can you help me call my mom?" Who died in 2003, by the way. So it's a very powerful phone at the MCC. And the IDO is like, "Yeah, what number do you want me to dial?"
Generation to the afterlife, that service.
Yeah, he dialed, I believe, like a 623, some sort of, it's the area code, I think, for New York, one of the area codes for New York. And he said, the IDO said a man answered, he handed the phone to Epstein, and then Epstein had this conversation, and I'm assuming the man gave the phone to someone else, because, yeah, it turns out he talked, Karina is his girlfriend. The emails between them, she is just, I mean, "I love you so much. Like, I'll do anything for you." She's the one that he brought her over from Belarus, had her marry a girlfriend of Elon Musk's brother. Kimball Musk was dating a girl named Jennifer. And Epstein's like, "Hey, Karina needs, citizenship," marries this Jennifer girl. They stay married for like 4 or 5 years. Wouldn't you know, they get divorced right after Karina gets her citizenship. I guess the marriage didn't work. You know, they fell out of love. It sounds
after
like
4 years.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the attorney's like, "Throw her a party. She can get divorced." You know what I mean? Like, they just email very clearly. It's a sham. But she then got into Columbia Dental School on the merits of a $100,000 donation to the dean from Jeffrey Epstein. And it's my understanding she is a dentist in New York.
That's so fascinating, given the horrifying images and pictures we've seen from the island of dental chairs, in rooms, and even within the files, he did all sorts of dental work, planned for victims to have different dental procedures done and whatnot. So wouldn't it be helpful if your girlfriend could do that stuff?
It would be very helpful. And she, you know, she's extremely talented, but because from 2013 to 2019, she worked for Southern Trust Company, which was Epstein's U.S. Virgin Islands entity that processed over $180 million. And court filings describe it as a conduit for payments to young foreign women. And so I think, you kind of know how the money moves.
Yeah.
Her name appeared over 40,000 times in the newly released documents. She was like his interior decorator. Sometimes she would manage furniture orders from different furniture companies. She would receive uniforms for the staff. She would arrange meetings. She'd be like, "I love you. You'll always have me no matter what. Whatever makes you happy. You're the purest men of all men." I mean, just very
so brainwashed beyond
extremely
any
loyal
type of getting her back.
Oh, extremely loyal. And knows where the money moves and how it moves and how the houses function and things like that. But it's my understanding she did not get any money. American authorities and French authorities froze his estate to allocate to a victim's comp fund. So hopefully at least, the victims will see the bulk of it. But I think it's still going through sorting out.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Let's be real. Women have been sold every miracle product under the sun. 30-day transformations, quick fixes, overnight results. Somehow, none of them actually last. That's why Nutrafol stands out. It's not about hype. It's about committing to a simple daily routine that supports hair health from within. So the results actually build over time.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF Content Certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY.
That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
That same evening, Correctional Officer Tova Noel began what would become a double shift at the MCC. She and her colleague, Michael Thomas, were the two guards assigned to monitor Epstein and the other inmates in the special housing unit that night. Protocol required them to conduct welfare checks every 30 minutes throughout the shift. They did not. Earlier that evening, Epstein's cellmate had been transferred out of the SHU and was not replaced. Direct violation of a July 30th BOP directive requiring Epstein to be housed with a cellmate at all times. Well, that's interesting.
Interesting that that day he had been, that evening, his cellmate was removed.
Mm-hmm.
So Epstein has a phone call with the recipient of all of his money, a secret, private, unrecorded, unmonitored phone call, hangs up, and then goes back to an empty cell that has that night been emptied out. Just happened timing. Whoops.
Yes, without really any explanation of why Tartaglione was taken.
Mm-hmm.
According to FBI forensic records and the DOJ Inspector General's findings, Noel spent portions of the night browsing furniture online. Thomas was browsing motorcycle listings. The OIG further found that both guards fell asleep at their desk for approximately 3 hours. Between the two of them, welfare checks on Epstein went unperformed for what investigators would later describe as
a number of hours.
Both guards subsequently falsified prison log entries to record checks that never occurred.
Best case scenario, these are a couple of average Joes just having one of the worst nights of their life at work. That you're like, who amongst us? You know what I mean? Let's not skewer these folks. Now, was I operating a high capacity jail at the time? Certainly not, but I've fucked around on the clock.
Sure.
Hours of my life, I've fucked around on the clock.
Never have I fucked around while also I was in charge of a convicted child rapist.
Did not do that, certainly not. But I was, you know, just from a if it were me perspective, when you're like, oh, I'm just looking at motorcycles, just clicking on some things, and then all of a sudden the fucking doors bust open at 6 a.m. You're like, oh no. And they're like, you checked them all night, right? And you're like, yeah, defo. Let me go get those notes, because there are no notes. But it's, I mean, in all seriousness, you can't do this at this job. This is an extremely serious job. However, I will say, I don't think it's a very well-paid job. So I don't know that you're going to necessarily, you know, maybe get the best and the brightest, because it's a horrific environment, a rough place, terrible treatment, bad hours, you know, what would become a two-hour or a double shift. She didn't sign up for a double shift. So, you know, compassionately, but at the same time, you can't fucking do that. It's extreme. No. Your job is very important.
Yeah. It's so crazy that they would do this. Well, we'll talk about the cameras in a minute.
Yes.
But there was at least one camera that was, you know, kind of showing things. So it's just very, it makes me think this wasn't the first time that they browsed motorcycles and furniture and took a nap at their desk. I mean, why would tonight of all nights be the first time that both of them ever did that?
No, I don't think so. And, it's not a well-funded, highly staffed. You know, oftentimes we're hearing that the federal prisons are the ones that are like, oh, there's another rat infestation and we had to shut it down. So I can see you probably are exhausted and sleeping at your desk, and it probably is a regular thing, which if you are a dude trying to sneak out, you're like, they sleep between 3 and 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every night.
Yep. At approximately 10:39 to 10:41 p.m., a surveillance camera, the only one of 11 in the special housing unit that was actually functioning, the others having broken hard drives, captured an orange-colored figure ascending the staircase toward Epstein's locked housing tier. This was the last time any person was seen approaching the SHU entrance before Epstein's body was discovered the following morning.
And per the Office of Inspector General report, the two cameras directly in front of his cell malfunctioned.
Isn't that so
weird? It's crazy. And the other footage they said was unusable. So, yeah. Man, what? It's just...
It's wild that you'd have this prison housing one of the highest profile inmates they probably ever had. And just, I don't know, you got one camera working out of 11.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, at some point you're like, either we are so desperately inept as a country or somebody went and took some cameras offline, you know, or you just got the cameras are offline, put them on floor 11. That's where the cameras don't work. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you kind of
know. But it's also inept to know that and not replace them when it's a prison.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, the mall mm-hmm. or something where it's like a place where like everyone should be watched. It's honestly, why don't they have cameras in cells?
Yeah. Privacy. I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing I could think would be inmate privacy, but.
It seems like there should be some cells. Maybe like if you're on suicide watch, you get put in a cell that has a camera in there. So if you're not checking, there's still a recorded filmed thing of like what happened during this time.
No, truly. And there's got to be there's cameras in some cells because Ghislaine Maxwell, there's footage of Ghislaine Maxwell in her cell that was in some of these files of like.
So I guess reading, some of sitting, them have them, some don't.
Really. But it's there. They don't. I won't say they had Hannibal Lecter here, but it's one of the most prolific criminals that I think we've seen as a nation. And it is crazy how apparently quite loose it was.
It was pretty lax. The original 2023 Inspector General report described the figure only as
an unidentified correctional officer.
But an internal FBI memo released in the files publicly attributed the figure to Tova Noel for the first time, suggesting she had been
carrying inmate linen or bedding up the stairs.
Under oath, Noel told investigators she had last seen Epstein alive
somewhere around after 10
and stated that she
never gave out linen, ever.
Adding that distributing bedding was the responsibility of the preceding shift, she noted that a corrections officer entering the area of Epstein's cell alone would itself be a policy violation. Independent video analysts consulted by CBS News reached a different conclusion about the figure, that its movement and apparent clothing were more consistent with an inmate in an orange prison uniform than with a corrections officer.
And this has been kind of described online as the orange blob that's going up the stairs. At the very least, somebody distributed linen, because if you see the photos of his cell after he was found, there's a shitload of orange blankets like everywhere. Like there's
all over the place.
Sheets and just a ton, like too much for one room.
Yeah. Unnecessarily.
So who gave him that? And also, yeah, I would agree. To me, the orange blob looks more like a person wearing an inmate uniform walking up a ringer. I don't know who it might be. I don't know why they might be going up there. I don't know what might have happened up there. And none of us do because the cameras didn't work.
And nobody was checking on him.
No. Nope.
So.
Not a one.
Yeah. And, you know, could be both. Could be a ringer holding a bunch of sheets.
Carrying sheets. Yeah. Yep. Because in the notes that he left, bedding or linen, like something was written like lots of linen. And it was like, so that's is that part of your plan?
I mean.
Maybe. I mean, hide in it. He's made a blanket for it. No, I was going to say, I mean, if you have a ringer in the room and the ringer has, you strangle him. Because the body that was found, the hyoid bone was broken. That's in, more in line with manual strangulation than, and then you put the thing around his neck and leave him hanging, and you hide underneath all the blankets. They take him out. Your buddies come and take you and put you in the other van. Oh. Take you out. Bingo. Also, again, there's no video cameras to see any of it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of somebody hiding in there. That's interesting.
Everybody's freaking out because they're like, "Oh my God, Jeff Epstein's dead," and it's just some like, you know. I don't know that all like, yeah, they'd all memorize what he looked like. If it reasonably similar, you know, they would
We've
know.
All seen that the type of latex masks that are available to the very wealthy are quite realistic.
That too, or you got enough money to pay somebody to get plastic surgery to look like you.
Mm-hmm. On August 9th, the day before Epstein's body was discovered, a press release was drafted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York announcing Epstein's death. Two draft versions of this document, each stamped with the date August 9th, 2019, and each marked with an unfinished press release number reading 19-XXX, were among the materials released in the files. A comparison of these drafts against the final announcement published on August 10th reveals one notable difference. Neither of the August 9th drafts contained the phrase
"from an apparent suicide."
That language appeared only in the finalized postmortem version. What?
Yeah, I mean,
the day before you're drafting stuff? What? How would you know when to draft something?
That's
like
a great
that.
Question. It's not like the Oscars were, or like where they do Mm-mm. the, you know, they might die this year, so let's go ahead and do a in memoriam and have it ready in case they do die. That way we don't like look like we're, you know, coming in at the last minute. But it could also, we'll see that they've chalked it up to, you know, a typo or whatever. I'm suspicious, but because of the difference in language that they added that from an apparent suicide that didn't mm-hmm. say initially, it just said August 9th, Epstein was found dead in a cell. And the next day it's like August 10th, Epstein was found dead in a cell from an apparent suicide. Let's make sure we get that one in there, you guys.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me, certainly.
The DOJ's official position is that the August 9th date is
an unfortunate typo.
And that such drafts are routinely repaired in advance for high-profile detainees. Fact-checking outlet Snopes investigated the documents and was unable to access the file metadata that would confirm or contradict the typo explanation.
Yeah, I mean, if the document was created on the 9th, and then no amount of typo, you know, then they did just typo it because they should have put the next day's date on it. But until we see the metadata, we can't really know. It's weird to me to say such drafts are routinely prepared in advance for high-profile detainees. What do you mean? You're like, well, he'll probably kill himself. So just
yeah.
It's not that long of a fucking draft, man.
No. And so you're telling me you anticipate this guy is going to off himself? Then why did you take him off suicide watch?
Yeah, watch him. What's
going
on?
You're putting a draft in because you're like, any day now, this could happen. We want to be prepared.
Truly.
But he's not even on watch.
You're right. And really, I mean, in the files, it's very much splitting hairs. But even just to get down to the institutional failures, technically, they released his suicide watch really after a day. And they just kept him on psychological observation before full clearance. So it to me, that just seemed very much like, yeah, he's fine. He's not suicidal. We'll just we'll keep watching mm-hmm. him, though, for a week. But it's like, well, why do you document that of like, well, he's still technically under watch, but not really. And so if that's the case, then talk to the experts. And then if the experts say we don't think he's going to die, why did you pre-draft that?
Yeah, lots of questions. According to a 66-page FBI forensic examination of Bureau of Prisons desktop computers released as part of the files, Tova Noel searched Google for
latest on Epstein in jail
at 5:42 a.m. She searched the identical phrase again at 5:52 a.m. Less than 40 minutes later, at approximately 6:30 a.m., Michael Thomas and Noel entered Epstein's cell with breakfast and found him unresponsive. He was hanging by what appeared to be strips of orange cloth tied to the frame of his bunk bed. Emergency responders were called, and Epstein was transported to New York Presbyterian Lower Manhattan Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. He was 66 years old.
So she typed latest on Epstein in jail less than an hour before she
and
was
why
about
would
to
you,
tell the latest of Epstein in jail to the rest of us.
And why would you search the exact same things 10 minutes apart as if in 10 minutes a new story is broke?
And also, if you wanted to know what he was up to, you could just walk
up the stairs
and go like, what's the latest? Oh, shit, he's cold.
My thinking is, if this is true, I mean, that it wasn't planted. We do know a search happened, but mm-hmm. who it came from, I don't know. I mean, if you really were her, you might be wanting to know, like, I wonder if, like, tabloids are reporting on stuff. And like if the jail's mentioned or if, you know, I'm mentioned or something, the two times 10 minutes apart kind of blows that theory up though. Because again, like why would you need to know 10 minutes later the exact same thing?
Yes. That's my question is two questions. Why are you searching it when you could walk up and look? But being the best light of this person, maybe just like you said, they're curious if there's, you know, going to be cameras out when they leave work that morning or something. But the 10 minutes side to side, right apart is like, what are you waiting for? What update are you, do you know about that you're waiting for? Potentially none. And this person has no idea and was just happened to be goddamn again. You're first of all, you're up all night searching shit you're not supposed to. Then you take a nap at work, fake the files, you know, fake the log. And then you're caught searching this. It's a really rough day for this person if they're unrelated to this at all. What a series of coincidences. But if, for instance, hypothetically speaking, if I were a guard and I had been paid and I knew that some sort of a switch was going to happen and that I was going to be part of the discovery part of it, I might want to know if there'd been, you know, if the plan had been blown up before I was supposed to go up there and discover him. That would just be me, though. I'm not talking about this person specifically.
That would also be me. I'd probably use my phone instead of the
computer at work.
The very computer I was just looking at what coffee table I want to buy.
Yeah, God.
But, you know, I mean, it's the timing is sus and the search is sus. That's just undeniable facts.
It's just weird stuff. Yeah. And just, hey, all the time do juries find normal explanations for weird stuff? Certainly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a normal explanation, but it's still, in my opinion, weird.
Yeah. And we'll never have that opportunity to have a jury tell us what they think.
We will not. Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
I was sleeping today and I woke up and I just said to myself in my head, because I was alone, God damn, I'm comfortable.
Yeah, dude.
And then I just went back to sleep. I was like, you know, maybe I should get up and do stuff. But then I thought, it makes me so happy to be in a comfortable bed, all snuggled up and comfy. And that's okay. And I shouldn't shame myself for that. If I want to be in my comfortable fucking bed all day on my comfortable mattress, I should be allowed to do that. And guess what? Most of the time I do.
I mean, the thing about a Helix is if I'm out of it, I want to be back in it. And if I'm in it, I don't want to leave it. And that's just period. So buying a mattress, it used to be overwhelming because it's something you spend a lot of time with and on. But taking the Helix sleep quiz made it easy. It matched both of us with the unique mattresses that how we sleep. Christy's mattress is different than mine.
It is.
And now both of us individually, we look forward to going to bed because it's made for us. Delivery was quick and free. And knowing I had a 120-night guarantee, it gave me a peace of mind. If I didn't like it, I was just going to call them, tell them, come get it. Thankfully, I loved it. Helix has won tons of awards. It makes total sense why. When I'm not in it, like I said, I yearn. I yearn for my Helix. I
miss it. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy through March 15th for their Sleep Week sale to get 27% off site-wide.
That's helixsleep.com/creepy through March 15th for their Sleep Week sale to get 27% off site-wide. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/creepy.
What was happening inside the unit in those immediate minutes was later described to the FBI in striking terms. In a formal 302 interview conducted August 28th, 2019, pursuant to a proffer agreement, an unnamed inmate housed on the same tier as Epstein told agents that he had been awakened by the commotion. He said he heard guards calling,
"Breathe, breathe."
He then heard another officer say,
"Dude, you killed that dude."
A female guard, according to the inmate's account, responded,
"If he is dead, we're going to cover it up and he's going to have an alibi. My officers."
According to the inmate, the entire tier heard this exchange, and that after Epstein's death became known throughout the facility, fellow prisoners began saying,
"Miss Noel killed Jeffrey."
This is all new information.
Yes, this is all just now coming out.
Which is, I think, adds a lot of context, more questions too.
Certainly.
As to what exactly was happening upon his body being discovered.
It is, yeah. And it has now been revealed that the officer saying, "Dude, you killed that dude," is Michael Thomas, was identified as the other, which, I mean, he was already identified as the other correctional officer that was there. Mm-hmm. But what an interesting experience. Breathe, Epstein, breathe. And then, "Dude, you killed that dude." Who's dudes?
Who's dudes?
Yeah.
Yeah. The female guard, I mean, that could be Noel.
Yeah, if
he is dead, we're going to cover it up, and he's going to have an alibi, my officers.
So he's going to have an alibi being, what, some guy that was in there with him? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a lot of dudes and he's that
unclear.
Are left unexplained, yes.
And it always fucking dudes and he's that are fucking stuff
every time. The only one that's like, we're going to cover it up and has a plan is the female. And even then, is that true? I don't know. But if I was a guard working somewhere and I was getting paid a lot of money to do something, and this is just me. If mm-hmm. I was a guard at a prison, mm-hmm. I might have been told what I should say when I find a body. Or I have kind of decided, like, this is the story I'm going to go with if things start to look a little weird and I get questioned.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. If you had motive to cause a commotion, cause a scene, I don't know, especially if you're anticipating time to bring in breakfast, that would just be, hypothetically mm-hmm. speaking. But it's mm-hmm. certainly strange. It is important to note a 302 interview conducted subject to a proffer agreement. You know, perhaps the inmate received something in exchange and, you know, was willing to say something. For her part, Miss Noel was questioned under oath by DOJ investigators, and she denied ever making those Google searches. And she said, "I don't remember doing that." And she said, "Those records are inaccurate. So perhaps you're just fucking working, sleeping at your desk. Meanwhile, there's a plan to frame you.
Yeah.
To make you look bad, right? To go, I went over on her computer and searched a couple of things. Like you said, if I was really in on something, I'd search on my phone. I would, you know, or not search at all. But that seems almost like somebody's trying to leave breadcrumbs. And for an inmate to go, "I heard the woman say, we're going to cover it up. You know, he'll have an alibi." It's hard to know what to trust, sadly, because I don't know if it was even ever great, but our once reasonably trustworthy FBI, has just become, you know, it's smoke and mirrors. So it's hard to know.
There's no cameras to pick up the audio. There's, you know, mm-hmm. no body cams.
Why are they
strange.
Not all wearing body cams? Yeah. Yeah.
Approximately 38 minutes before the first public tweet about Epstein's death and more than an hour before mainstream news organizations reported it, an anonymous user posted on the 4chan message board, "Poll.
Don't ask me how I know, but Epstein died an hour ago."
Subsequent posts from the same account provided medically specific details about an emergency resuscitation attempt. The poster also described unusual overnight activity at the MCC, including Epstein being moved in a medical wheelchair and an unauthorized van arriving at the facility.
I will say, for as much shenanigans that goes on 4chan, there have been multiple documented experiences where a user will post, "I just killed someone and this is the address." And when the users call it in, it is a person who just killed someone and that's the address. So all that to say, and there's plenty of stuff on 4chan that's silly and made up and fake and stuff. But and of course, all the QAnon stuff, and there's a whole 4chan connection with Epstein meeting with the person who created this poll board. So ironically,
we'll be doing a future 4chan episode on that. Yeah.
But truly, the fact that it was posted on 4chan anonymously-ish, we'll see, you can kind of trace it, to me doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't necessarily mean it is true, but 4chan has been host to actual confessions before, and this one seemed to have details that were verifiable.
Yes. And as we will discuss in another episode, Ghislaine and Jeffrey both were
users,
big 4chan users,
not the internet
creators. So, you know, if even Ghislaine is like, "I know what's gonna happen, so I'm gonna leak this early," or something, you know, and there's just a lot of questions that come up.
It strikes me as almost like a, and yeah, Ghislaine was a Reddit power user. Man, she was like, moderating many boards that you and I have probably been on throughout the years. But 4chan, similar to like when people would call into Howard Stern, where it's like, it really is these people. Like they, it feels like this like weird, like, I'll prove to you I really am a soldier, or I'll prove to you I really am a firefighter, or whatever type of post on there. So somebody that really wasn't MCC guard being like, all right, guys, fellow 4chan guys, yeah, I'm the one with the secrets. There's something to that. So it does, to me, it lent a little bit more credence. Granted, there is the 4chan connection to them.
Yeah. The morning after Epstein's death, a grand jury convened by U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman of the Southern District of New York issued subpoenas to 4chan, Apple, AT&T, and Citibank in an effort to identify the post's author. AT&T was unable to provide useful identifying records. However, Citibank's response, included in the newly released files, contained the name Roberto Grijalva, a lieutenant at the MCC at the time of Epstein's death. According to reporting by the Hindustan Times and analysis of the released documents, Grijalva's unredacted bank records appeared in connection with the financial subpoena, and the same Roberto Grijalva had given statements during the prison's own internal investigations into Epstein's death. The DOJ documents do not formally name Grijalva as the 4chan post's author.
And there was really, so there was four posts from whoever that poster was about medical stuff, and then a separate poster with a separate IP address, somebody that has not been investigated at all, posted about seeing a guy in a green dress military outfit saying, I'm shaking right now, I think they switched him out. So those are different messages from a different user, but the ones from Grijalva, it, apparently it seems to be a track to him. I mean, the fact that somewhat the financial records seem to have matched, and in response to the government subpoena, he's not really been charged. I don't think he really said anything that could be, no harm, no foul. All the information came out like an hour later. So,
yeah, I mean, it would be leaking it early, but yeah. I don't know if there's a charge for that. It's more, I think the question should be asked to the person that has not been interviewed that is saying they switched out the body. Mm-hmm. We saw a van show up. All of these things like that don't ever happen happened. So a van, an unmarked van shows up. Somebody, Epstein allegedly gets wheeled out in a wheelchair, which they said doesn't happen. Why did that happen? And then somebody else gets brought back up, walking up the stairs, potentially carrying a ton of orange bed sheets and linens.
For a place that has like records and cameras and everything, it's strange how shaky the exact timeline of what happened was, or how there are things, anomalous things that seem to have happened, and they just all seem to happen on that day.
Yeah, it's too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence.
That's what it feels like,
in my opinion. That same morning, according to an internal DOJ memo released in the files, jail employees used boxes and sheets to construct what appeared to be a human body and placed it inside a white medical examiner's van at the front of the MCC. Media crews stationed outside the facility followed the decoy van. Epstein's actual body was transported in a separate, unmarked black vehicle that departed unnoticed. The identities of the employees who arranged this maneuver are fully redacted in the public documents. No official explanation has been given for why it occurred.
Makes sense if you're trying to get the press off your tail. Mm-hmm. It also shows that they're not above switching stuff out and doing a switcheroo and tricking people.
I think the press being off your tail either way is going to help you.
Yeah,
whether
yeah.
you're really dead or not, you know, you have a decoy.
But yeah, it's a, you know, for anybody to go, it's just straightforward. They just put his body on a stretcher and walk him straight out the front door. Like, no, clearly not. They wrote a memo that they didn't do that. So
they also drafted a document the day before that he was dead. The day before he was dead.
I totally did it on the day of. Haven't you ever written the wrong number on a document? Again, it's like the one mistake you make is like it's created a huge conspiracy. Damn it, Heather. Check it before you hit control save. I'm like, I didn't check it.
No.
I feel so bad. Anybody whose blunder has created something far beyond their control, I have the utmost compassion for, sincerely speaking.
I do as well. Whether this was a blunder exactly. is up in the air.
Exactly. These are imaginary, good-hearted workers accidentally doing something, not evil doers actively covering something.
Where
up.
It's just like, dun, 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 yes. diddle, diddle, diddle. Just, you're like, of all fucking days, I wrote the ninth and not the tenth.
It's kind of important to know when he died.
Still, though, regardless, ninth or tenth, to say that we do this for high-profile detainees makes Show me. Not a lot of sense to
cool,
me.
Cool, cool, cool. Show me. Show me every of the ones with the metadata and how all the high profile ones. Did you do one for Tartaglione? I don't think you did. He's pretty high profile, you know, maybe not as Epstein famous, but did you do one for Diddy?
Did you
do one for Diddy? Did you do one for Bill Cosby? Okay. Then I think you're full of shit.
Yep. Dr. Kristen Roman of the New York City Office of Chief Medical Examiner performed the autopsy. She did not immediately certify Epstein's death as a suicide, instead recording the manner of death as
pending studies,
telling investigators she was
being thorough
and wanted to examine his cell herself and speak with the officer who found the body before signing the death certificate. Her interview transcript shows she ultimately endorsed the office's ruling of suicide by hanging. She told the investigator the overall scene was, in her assessment,
pretty clear cut. I've never seen one staged that well before. It looked exactly like I would expect it to.
It was pretty clear cut. That whole ruse was pretty clear cut.
You didn't ever say, like, why are there 10,000 blankets in this room with the guy that was supposedly on suicide watch? What do you mean you took him off suicide watch just the other day? What do you mean you took his fellow cellmate out of here? What do you mean?
You are being thorough, appreciated. You want to examine. I think all that's great. And then you did that, and you still came back and said it was pretty clear cut.
It's giving the Ellen Greenberg medical examiner who's like, I reviewed 10 years of additional information and I didn't change anything. And you're like, what?
You're like, why not though?
Because
who's paying you?
Well, you left a lot of stuff out that I think I'm not a doctor and I could see that that would be relevant. Like, why are there 10 million blankets in a cell? That's kind of weird.
Sure was. Sure is. The private pathologist hired by Epstein's brother Mark reached the opposite conclusion. Dr. Michael Baden, who previously served as chief medical examiner of New York City, examined the evidence and concluded publicly that the pattern of fractures in Epstein's neck was
more indicative of homicidal strangulation than suicide. And he's focused on the hyoid bone, which, not to get too graphic, but when you hang, it does not break in the same way that if someone had their hand around your neck.
Yes, but this might do.
Michael Baden has seen a body.
Yep.
So that's something. And apparently Mark Epstein, I would assume you've seen the body if you're giving it to, Michael Baden examined the evidence. So maybe he didn't actually physically examine the body and he was looking at scans, x-rays, whatever, of someone's body. So
of someone's body.
Yeah.
Yes.
He reviewed
it. I would imagine, but I don't know for sure, and I don't know if it's been made publicly available, that if Mark is his only living kin, I mean, typically, I don't know if prisons you do this, but you have to come in and identify the body if it's your loved one that's dead, or you might even ask to see the body. So I wonder if that happened.
Yeah, who put eyes on him? And or do you go, hey, we're a prison. We knew who he was. We brought him in here, so we don't need to ask anybody his opinion. We've identified him ourselves. Have you? Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The physical evidence at the scene added further complications. According to the DOJ Inspector General's 2023 report and CBS News' investigation, one noose collected from Epstein's cell was
later determined not to be the ligature used in his death.
A different noose was depicted in the official autopsy report. But, as CBS News reported, there is no documentation in official records identifying where that noose was found or which strip of bed linen had actually been removed from around Epstein's neck. Some evidence appeared in photographs to have been taken in a different room from Epstein's cell entirely.
So you're grabbing noose pieces and taking them in the other room to take pictures of them, and now the noose is lost?
How would it later be determined this one wasn't the one used in his death? Like, how would a noose have, and apart from, like, DNA?
Well, I mean, I think you could tell the picture that if they took a photo of him or of the scene and the noose that's hanging from the bed is a certain length, a certain color, a certain edge, cut a certain way.
Okay.
And then you have a photo of that. And then in the box, you go, here's the photo of the hanging one. And here's the actual thing. And you go, this thing's way shorter. This isn't, you know, or too long or whatever. And you're like, well, where's the one in the picture? And so far, everyone's gone, we don't know.
Why wouldn't it have been still around his neck when pictures were taken of the scene?
If the officers were trying to render aid and took him down and took the breathe.
Okay.
Yes, you know, potentially trying to do some type of life-saving resuscitation measures on him.
Seems like one would, even in haste, cut that, bag it as evidence. You know, or maybe you just set it to the side, honest, out of the way so it doesn't get mixed up in the fray.
Put it in his
because
pocket.
That's gonna come into play later as a pretty big piece of evidence.
Who has it? I don't know. Maybe in 20 years somebody's gonna sell it at auction. Which is gross.
Yeah, Zach Bagans will have it in his
probably
stupid fucking
come
museum.
Into my Epstein lair. It's under the museum. I've dug out a total basement.
You're like, good, we can fill it with concrete and yourself. Put you in there and fill it in. Back a truck up and it's all gone.
We're going to put him down there and then we're going to pump all that fucking smell that he puts in the museum down into the basement.
Yes.
By the basement, I mean the tunnels he's buried through. And he'll just, you know.
That's where he lives
now. I think he'll asphyxiate himself.
Potentially autoerotic asphyxiate himself.
Yeah, he will be jerking off to the smell of popcorn and probably, you know.
Everything else.
Carnival music playing in the background.
I can't come unless there's a pipe organ. I need a calliope.
Forensic experts consulted by CBS News described the handling of the death scene as fundamentally compromised. Items moved before investigators arrived, evidence not photographed in place. One expert was unsparing.
It almost appears to me that whoever was investigating this just took it at face value that it was a suicide with no foul play whatsoever. But in a situation as high profile as this, I would always, as an investigator, consider that there might be foul play.
Hard agree. I would say if I wanted it to appear as a suicide, wouldn't a trial run a week or two before be a good way to say, oh, he was already considering this. We already have seen this happen.
Yeah, and you kind of know how quickly they might respond and how they respond very quickly when you have a cellmate. And so maybe you don't figure out a way that there's not a cellmate anymore. I don't know. But
yeah.
It's giving JonBenet Ramsey detectives when they just came in and were like, what happened? And they're like, we'll tell you our theory. And the police went, okay, sounds good. Touch everything. Like, what in the world? Your job is to go, I understand that you have your version and I'll speak with you soon. I need to Sherlock Holmes this and take in all the clues and then assess them myself and write them and note them. Not just like, well, looks like he killed himself. Bag it, throw it in the garbage. Meanwhile, Zach Bagans is out by the dumpsters picking it all up. But yeah,
he is the dumpster driver, I bet.
Seems like it. But it's like this. I think this investigator is hitting the nail on the head of like, you have to check every possible option, or to bring back Ellen Greenberg for the police to show up, speak with Sam. And he goes, she killed herself. And they went, okay, sounds good. Touch all the evidence. Take her laptop. Take her phone. We don't care. See you later. Bye. Wipe the whole fucking place down. Call a cleaning company in and wipe all the blood away. Bye. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It is. In conjunction with removing the cellmate to not have been checked all night, you know, it's then hard for someone to say, he was fine 30 minutes ago, because you haven't seen him in like 8 fucking hours. So was that intentional? Intentional not checking? So there could be no reporting of what was going on in there. Was it just ineptitude? And he, from being there, the short stay he was, had figured out this is kind of how they operate each night. So I just got to put X, Y, and Z in place for all this to go well. One of those things, in my opinion, is the answer.
Yeah, it's hard because we want to trust our institutions.
We do. Like something, and we've learned that we can't, and that is a very hard thing to grapple with.
And especially, like I said, it doesn't take every guard in the place knew it was going on. It takes one or two people, maybe, if that.
And maybe those people aren't even guards.
And the guards don't even know the whole story. You know, they might, you get told one thing, another, whatever. And I never want to say like someone knew everything that was happening and they were complicit. It's like, sometimes I'm sorry, but they know that you're a useful idiot.
Yeah. I mean, money goes a long way with a lot of people, especially people that are, you know, not billionaires. And to billionaires, it's just like mere pennies you're throwing at someone to another, that person, it could be, you know, their entire
life-changing
amounts. I believe it was also reported in the files released that Novell was driving a $65,000 car during while she was working there as well.
You know what? I take back what I said before. Perhaps it is a higher paying job than I was aware of, and I might be applying to the Bureau of Prisons soon.
You know, I say
my
that.
My car's not.
No, I drive a car from like 15 years ago. But
my car was made before Donald Trump was ever president.
Say, that's why I'm holding on to it. I'm up, like,
it knows the world
better.
The
only
better
thing I have, Tiguan.
You know
before,
a better world.
Before times.
Exactly. You know a world.
And that's why, you know, I don't want to say it is impossible because I don't know this person's life. I mean, somebody could have given her that car. Who knows?
You're on Price is Right.
Somebody could, though, have given her that car. Could be a relative. Could have been somebody else gave her money. Or you save up. So there's a lot of reasons you might drive that. It was something that stood out to me.
Interesting, especially given the new information this week that just came to light we're about to discuss.
In November 2019, Tova Noel and Michael Thomas were federally indicted on charges of falsifying prison records and making false statements. The charges were dropped in December 2021, but only after both guards entered deferred prosecution agreements, formally admitted to falsifying records, and completed 100 hours of community service in cooperation with the DOJ investigation. As of this recording, no one has been prosecuted in connection with Epstein's death. While Noel's charges have been dropped, newly released files show that Chase Bank filed a suspicious activity report with the FBI in November 2019, around the time of Noel's indictment, flagging an unusual pattern of cash deposits in Noel's account. According to records in the DOJ files, 12 deposits began in April of 2018 and culminated in the largest, $5,000 in cash, on July 30th, 2019, exactly 10 days before Epstein's death. Noel had only begun working in the special housing unit where Epstein was housed on July 7th, 2019. She was not asked about any of this during her DOJ interview. She did, however, offer this defense.
I've never worked in the special housing unit and actually done rounds every 30 minutes.
Noel also denied ever making the Epstein-related Google searches, saying,
I don't remember doing that.
and claiming the FBI records were inaccurate.
So our explanation is we just never check?
Yeah, I've never done that. I mean, fair enough. What are the closing duties? I don't know. I don't do them. I just browse on the internet and then take a nap until it's time to clock out. I've done that too. No shade. If you're not working in a prison where murderers are mere feet from you, and you should probably have eyes on them at
you
all
know,
times.
And slippery ones like Epstein has shown to get out of legal binds before. You know, he was facing down a lot of sex trafficking and sexual abuse charges that got pled down to one or two. But just to recap for our listeners, on July 6th, Jeffrey Epstein was arrested at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey. And on July 7th, this person begun working in the special housing unit where he was housed.
Yes. Who records show was getting payments dropped into her account regularly and was driving a $70,000 car.
An unusual pattern of cash deposits, indeed. Well, generally speaking, from a legal perspective, if you entered into a deferred prosecution agreement, depending on what charges, and you admitted to falsifying records, they know that you falsified falsified records because you said you did, and like the footage shows you're sleeping and, you know, you're Googling stuff or whatever. That doesn't mean that in the future you couldn't get charged with something.
Yeah.
Depending on what regime is in power, I would be concerned. Any amount of complicity, not saying that this person has any, I'm speaking generally from a legal perspective, if one knew about something like this, one's prior deferred prosecution agreement would not cover all aspects of one's participation in, to whatever extent that may or may not be, you know, all that to say, you're not safe just because you admitted to falsifying records. And it sounds like there's at least some unusual cash deposits. Who knows what else digital evidence there might be. It doesn't sound like the DOJ ever really looked into this. Why would they? Certainly. Weird stuff. Again,
weird
Johnny
stuff.
Johnny Carson style. Weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. And why didn't the DOJ look into this? Why didn't they ask her questions about, I mean, we could say that about so many things involving this case, but I mean, any regular person like you and I would be like, well, shouldn't you have asked her like why, how she, and maybe there's a simple explanation like, there's child support and I get X amount of money dumped into my account every few weeks or
whatever. I like to sell my stuff instead of Poshmark. I go do a pop-up out front and I just tell people to send me, you know, cash for the total or whatever. I don't know. Give us some answer. But interesting. Also, I mean, I think it's relevant that she says, I don't remember Googling that. Did you not? Do you just not remember? Or you're just like, and for a certain amount, my memory gets real spotty. I'm not saying that's what happened here. Again, I'm not trying to defame this person who has entered into a deferred prosecution agreement, but I would say just because there is a prosecution, a deferred prosecution agreement in place does not preclude future legal actions.
I don't remember doing that, or I don't remember, period. Like, that's kind of like, and that's all I'm going to say. You can't force someone to remember something. I mean, I guess if you, unless you get like a false confession out of somebody. But we also saw Epstein in the trial run of the suicide saying, I don't remember. I mean, that's like, how can you argue with I don't remember if you're on the receiving end of that? It's like, it's kind of a stops the conversation statement.
I don't want to say get out of jail free card, but it seems like it is for both folks that have been saying they don't remember. Nobody's in jail. I will say
with everybody in
jail.
I mean, just like in general, if you just are like, I don't remember, you know, I'm talking to my kids. I'm like, well, what happened earlier? I don't remember. Well, then I guess nobody knows because we can't force you to remember. And if you do remember, we can't force you to say that. I mean, there are ways of getting information out of people, but I don't run my house like Guantanamo Bay, so we don't do that.
Like, where were you on the night of the... I don't know.
I said I don't remember.
You're full of shit. But if they wanted this information out of these people bad enough, they could get it.
Exactly. I think saying a more robust, fulsome investigation, perhaps, but it doesn't seem like that was on the list of priorities for the DOJ at that time in 2019. It sort of all worked itself out.
It sure did.
Sinister Hood, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The official account of Jeffrey Epstein's death has stood for more than 6 years. No one has been prosecuted. The medical examiner's ruling of suicide by hanging has not been formally overturned. The criminal charges against the two guards assigned to watch him were dropped. However, the documents released under the Epstein Files Transparency Act have shed new light on the strange circumstances surrounding the sex predator's death, including the question, is he really dead? So what do we think?
No.
I also say no. I already didn't think he was, and now I'm pretty much convinced. Apart from like, I don't know what somebody could show me at this point. Maybe
footage.
Yeah. Footage. Or but I was going to say, there's, I don't want to see pictures of his dead body, but there were tattoos and stuff. Although that can also just be
true,
put on someone else. And again, even if it's not like the best job, because obviously like tattoos heal and take a while. You could tell like how old or new they were. If the person who's like examining has been told, this is already a suicide. We just need signature. Right. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing's really looked at that with a fine tooth comb. I think a lot could get by.
I think so. I think as well, somebody might not know exactly what somebody looks like, but again, a reasonable, somebody that sort of looks reasonably similar to him. There is the issue Thomas Massey pointed out. There are at least three photographs of Jeffrey Epstein with a barbed wire tattoo on his left upper arm, kind of like a tribal band. And the images of Epstein in the files I saw in prison, including the one right after the first suicide attempt, he's got his arms are showing and his arms are down. He does not have a tattoo on his arm. So whoever was in the prison and the whole time didn't have a tattoo on his arm. There is an email from Leslie Groff, his assistant, to Epstein, you know, 5 years before that, saying, here's the info on the tattoo removal people you asked about, kind of thing. So, you know, maybe he did get it removed or whatever. I'll leave his prostate for part two, but there's also some information about that. There's, you know, so we've given you what we've given you today. Then now there's next episode, we'll have more evidence of what perhaps he's been doing since he got out, what he was thinking in those notes, because it'll be a couple minutes for us to go through all of the notes that he wrote and left behind and kind of what we think they might mean and what others have you know, put together based on drawing. You know, he sketched a picture and it's like, that is exactly like Teterboro Airport. Like, why are you sketching, writing like the names of countries that don't extradite and things like that? So we'll talk about those in part two. But just as far as the circumstances surrounding him being put in, the timing and stuff, it'd be one thing if it was just one thing with weird timing. You know, it was just so happened that they found that new witness that was extremely credible, that was interviewed four times. And it just so happened that her interview got held for 2 weeks, which never happens and is against protocol. And it just so happens that like 2 days after it got in the file, he died. What a weird coincidence. It also just so happens he had his guy taken, you know, the cellmate was taken out. It just so happens he was able to make that phone call. And it just so happens he met, you know, he wrote his will right before that. And it just
one camera was only working that night.
Oh, it just so happens that the cameras, and it was right outside his cell. It just so happened that it was those. So at some point, I'm being asked to suspend my disbelief, and my disbelief is just so heavy. I cannot hold the rope anymore, no pun intended, and it falls and clatters to the ground. Like there, you know, it just so happens that somebody walked up the steps at 10 p.m. when was the last time she saw him. It just so happens that he had a shitload of bedding in his notes. It said, need a lot of bedding or whatever. It just so happens. So there's just kind of too many just so happens that I'm starting to think, that the air freshener I saw in San Diego wasn't a joke.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying the same about Ghislaine. Not that she killed herself, but that during that prison transfer, something went down. And we'll talk about in part two how that all looks. Maybe they're living on a beach somewhere together right now.
Or living in the mountains somewhere together, or living in South America somewhere together. The possibilities are endless. But it's when you can, me faking my own death, nah. You know what I mean? You'd know me. You'd be able to trace me. There's too many financial transactions, bank accounts, whatever. Like, there's too many. I'm too subject to know your customer, KYC reporting requirements. And I am not rich enough for any bank to go, we'll just ignore those rules because we really want your money. He is. He has been and all, you know, has been for 40 years now. And the person who said, like, I will love you forever and do anything and I will die for you is the one who was given the keys the day before. Again, it just so happens.
Just so happens that this guard just was put there the day after
he got there.
Or the day before he was arrested. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's too many coincidences that I don't think there can be that many strange coincidences in one story that already... We know he's a slimy piece of shit. So, like, why wouldn't we think he would be capable of doing something like this and then execute it?
No, truly. And you see in the emails where one of the victims was getting loud, we talked about in a prior episode, and he messages his Russian friend and is like, hey, I need info on her. Like, what can I do to poke her? So he's the kind of guy that calls in favors, and he's got a lot of really helpful friends.
And he's allowed to make phone calls that aren't monitored. That nobody hears but him and whoever's on the other end.
He had to talk to his dear mother, who is dead.
He's in the grave.
I'm going to go to MCC and use that phone so I can talk to my dead dad. I didn't know they had that phone there. Goddamn. Yeah.
That's, of all the places to put it, they shouldn't put it there. They should like put it in the middle of a pretty flower field or something.
You will have to commit a federal crime, a violent one as well, but you'll get to talk to him. Worth it, maybe. Depends on where's Epstein at. I might be convinced.
Yeah, true.
I can take him.
We'll talk about even more of this sack of shit in part two. And
gotcha.
There's probably, in this next week, before we even record that, a bunch of new shit will get dropped that, or maybe, you know,
I mean, literally.
Every day is a winding road into the inevitable crumbling of our society.
That's not what Sheryl Crow was singing about. Every day is, oh God, it's all on fire. It is, Sheryl. It is all on fire.
It is, but, Sheryl.
You're right. I mean, just the info about the money transfers and whatnot. This just came out this last week. So
follow
we'll
the money.
Keep our eyes peeled. And for the survivors, I think they're all very devastated given that all of this stuff has stopped being in the news because we're in a conflict, at war, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we're at war. So, you know, there's ICE and there's bombings and stuff. So
if
people needed a distraction so they weren't talking about this as much, those are all good ones. But
great timing.
Yeah.
For the pedophiles.
I think it's more important than ever to continue talking about these things so they don't get brushed under the rug, which is what everybody that's involved in these things wants to happen.
Absolutely. Well, if you see any files you think we should be referencing or any new updates, go to sinisterhood.com/contact and you can submit a main feed segment and send it to us there, or send it to us sinisterhoodpodcast@gmail.com. We appreciate the crowdsourced nature of
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for tagging us and stuff. We always appreciate it.
For sure. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather's Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you stick around, do an annual membership because you get 1 month free as well. And when you stick around, it's content all year long. Baby, what all do you get?
ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And as it gets warmer, I love our Sinisterhood racerback tank tops. Mm-hmm. Just a personal quick plug for one, because I was wearing one the other day and I was like, damn, this is a nice tank top.
It is.
Make sure you use your Patreon discount to get that merch discount and get yours today.
Mm-hmm. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that leaves kind reviews and 5 stars. You can submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access to the chat, to the videos, and a whole backlog of content just for signing up for free.
And don't forget that on the sinisterhood.com/live shows, you can also find information on Crime Wave at Sea 2027. Go to crimewaveatsea.com to book your cabin now. You can also do a payment plan there. You can split it with your roomie that you're going with. You can choose the actual cabin you're going to be in, and you can see the lineup of incredible creators. It's not just a cruise. It's a cruise with us and with so many awesome people like Henry and Ed from Last Podcast on the Left, Casey from Case File making his first debut in conversation with Vicky, debut for us on the high seas with Vicky Petratus, as well as True Crime Garage, True Crime Campfire, Paranormal Chicks, Scared to Death, so many friends.
I'm so stoked.
And us. Let's do it.
I'm so stoked. Yes. Already looking forward to next February.
I can't wait. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and book your cabin. And again, if you're the 69th cabin,
I'm going to have dinner. We'll have dinner.
You know,
just like,
it's not one of those cruises.
It's not one of those dinners.
No, not an upside down pineapple. We'll have a right side up pineapple dinner with you very much. Thank you. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congrats on whatever you have accomplished, we want to celebrate with you with a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's a fast gift. You don't even have to put on pants when you order it. Cameo.com/.
We don't even have to wear pants when we do them.
You don't know that because it's waist up only.
Yeah, waist up.
We say Winnie the Pooh when we film those.
I only wear pants when I leave my house. Otherwise, I'm Winnie the Poohing it.
Yeah, why?
24/7.
Yeah. Go to cameo.com. Cameo.com/sinisterhood and book on the web for the best deal. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace, and I'm on TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Colleen Cundiff.
Leo Coronado.
Badger and B.
Bad Coochie Copy 42069.
Hell yeah. Stacy.
Victoria Burt.
Rebecca Richards.
Rach.
Casey Mueller.
Nicole Townsend.
Amber V.
And Kate Velociraptor. Y'all came correct with your names today. We hope we pronounced them all correctly. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We really couldn't do this without you. We love you so much. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
Are you a fraud-paying American? 1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane
Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.